Rising up on the banks of Lake Springfield is the small rural town of Nixa, Missouri. This is a place where nobody is a stranger, especially to 20-year-old former beauty queen Jackie Johns.
Jackie was real popular. I mean, just people loved to be around her. And when she was a senior in high school, Jackie was crowned Sucker Day Queen. And it's a fish fry festival that the city of Nixa has once a year.
It was a well-deserved award, but, you know, she was still Jackie. She was always someone who was going to make her own way, you know, make sure she had jobs so she had money. Jackie was a hard worker.
Has anyone seen my apron? Nope. Sorry, Jackie. I can't find it anywhere. Didn't you just have it? That's the thing. I did have it, and now...
You're in big trouble, sis.
Me? What did I do?
Jeannie, that wasn't very nice.
See? Your mom always takes your side.
She does not.
Jackie was the baby. We were just the typical siblings. A lot of fighting. But a lot of, you know, togetherness and closeness, too. A lot of love.
I'll get it. Hello?
Do you know what I want to do to you, Jackie?
Who is this? What do you want?
You know what I want. I want to...
Leave me alone. Must have been a wrong number. That was him again, wasn't it?
This is getting ridiculous. What are we going to do?
Nothing. You worry too much. See you later. Have fun with those carrots.
There were a lot of phone calls. Of course, back then, all we had was landlines. You didn't have caller ID then. It wasn't calls that she wanted to receive.
Ever since she was 15 years old, Jackie's been working as a waitress at the Sail Barn Cafe.
Hey, folks. Just the two of you? All right, if you want to have a seat behind me, Dane will take care of you guys.
The Sail Barn Cafe was attached to the stock yards where the cattle sales were. Even people that weren't in the cattle business locally would still go there and eat.
More coffee, Sheriff?
Thanks, Jackie.
Jackie enjoyed working at the Sail Barn Cafe. She had all of her regular customers, from law enforcement to your cowboys. To just your everyday mom and pop.
Hey, Jackie. Can I get my check?
Of course.
Here you go. Keep the change.
No, Bo, that's too much. I'll be right back.
She was that stereotypical waitress that greets everybody by name when they walk in, and she was just a very popular person.
Are you and your man gonna make it to the lake with us this weekend or what? I don't know. Toby's busy, maybe just me.
Jackie and I became closer when we were both working at the Sail Barn Cafe. She was one of my best friends. We were close.
Bye, Jackie.
Well, maybe you should bring him instead. What? It's the curly hair, isn't it? Told you wanted to be your boyfriend.
Jackie was known to have a lot of male people that were interested in her. She was beautiful, and she had the personality that attracted many people to her, and sometimes not in a good way.
Hey, folks. There are you. Right this way. Oh, can we sit in Jackie's section? Is this okay?
Thanks so much. Good to see you.
She'll be right with you. Looks like you got a lot of admirers today, Miss Jackie. Group over there said that they wanted to sit in your section.
Oh, that's just the Carnahans. I used to work for their family's factory, you know, the big one?
Carnahans? That's going to be a good tip.
The Carnahans were known for being wealthy, and there are several streets named after all the kids in the Nix area.
After a long day at work, Jackie finally heads out around 11 p.m.
Toby!
Well, hey there, beautiful.
Jackie was dating Toby. Toby worked at the Nix's Cell Barn in the actual auction area. Just her type, a cowboy, with a good personality and nice looking.
So how's your wife doing?
Come on, ex-wife, you know that.
I thought people got divorced so they don't have to talk to their wife anymore.
I told you, there's nothing going on between us. Just me and you, baby, that's it. Hey, what you got going on this weekend? Want to do something?
Good night, Toby.
I'll call you, okay?
On her way home, Jackie stops by the local convenience store.
At that time, there wasn't any place else really to go after, 7 o'clock in the evening. Usually, anytime you pulled in there, you knew somebody because we were still small town Nixa.
Hey, Jackie. Why don't you hang out with us for a while?
No, I gotta get home.
You never want to hang out anymore. Is this because of what's going on with Toby?
Things with Toby are fine.
Jackie sometimes wouldn't exactly tell, and we would have to ask some questions to get Jackie to tell us what was on her mind. Because Jackie was more into taking care of others than wanting somebody to take care of her.
Right. See you later.
Bye.
It's now almost midnight, and back at the Johns house, Jackie's family is surprised to find that she's not home yet.
It was not unusual for her just to stay the night with a friend. Those days, we didn't have cell phones. It wasn't as convenient to call. We figured she'd, we'd see her the next day.
The next morning, a local delivery driver making her rounds outside of town spots an unlikely sight.
Jackie's car was as recognizable as she was around town, and she had custom license plates. So it was a very distinctive car.
Jackie?
Just off a rural highway in Nixa, Missouri, a delivery driver has come across the car of local It Girl, Jackie Johns. But something's not right.
Jackie?
The delivery driver saw some of the blood in the back seat and called the police. And it was pretty immediately clear that something bad had happened.
Christian County Sheriff Dwight McNeil is quickly on the scene. But the moment the young leader arrives, he's hit by an unexpected horror.
I know this girl.
More coffee, Sheriff?
Thanks, Jackie. Jackie Johns. Serves me coffee almost every morning. Sweet girl, always a smile on her face.
Based on the severity of the report, McNeil is joined by Tom Martin from the Missouri Highway Patrol.
Tom Martin was a sergeant. He was an investigator at that time. And he came down. And they started processing the car. Him and Dwight was real good friends.
It's a mess.
They're both very professional men. And right away, they started working together on what had happened to Jackie.
Jack in there yet?
Not yet.
But I got the keys. I'll let you do the honors.
Finally are making their way around to the trunk. They must have thought it was at least a possibility that her body might even be in the trunk.
Tire iron.
Yeah, that's her hair color. You don't know what's happened yet.
Yeah, I can take a pretty good guess, can I?
She could be out there somewhere, somehow. Whatever's happened here, she's gonna need our help.
It just gives you a sick feeling, that she's a good friend of everybody and you know her and you visit with her, you talk to her. It just makes you sick at your stomach, even though you know it's not over yet.
As Jackie's car is sent off for processing, Sheriff McNeil leads a search team across the surrounding terrain.
Jackie!
You had hundreds of volunteers. You had police officers from Springfield, from the Christian County Sheriff's Department, going through this area. There was intense media coverage at the time, following as every day people go out trying to find her.
Jackie!
5 days after Jackie was last seen alive, two fishermen are out on the water, just a few miles away from where her car was found.
Is that what I think it is?
Police are called to the report of a body found at Lake Springfield. And when they arrive, it's clear their search for Jackie is over.
Severe trauma to the lips, face, and head.
Tire iron. Just beaten thrown out like trash.
It's ugly. No question.
It's brutal.
When we found her body, it really hit him hard. And someone like Jackie, you know, that he knew.
You stay here, wait for the ME.
What are you gonna do?
Last thing in the world I wanna do. Talk to Jackie's family.
Dwight McNeil was fairly new as the sheriff at the time. It was probably the most significant case that he had dealt with. I think it was easy for it to become personal because, you know, it was a small town and Jackie was well known.
What is it? Did you find her? Tell me, please.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It was a shock to everyone that Jackie could be so brutally murdered. And also, yes, it was a bit of being afraid, not knowing what had happened.
With Jackie's killer still out there, Sheriff McNeil knows he must gather all he can to get the investigation going.
So outside of the cafe, what did Jackie like to do in her spare time? Any close friends?
Lots of them. Jackie made friends wherever she went.
Jackie was just so well loved by everyone. It was just so unimaginable that somebody could hate her enough to beat her like they did.
If you had to throw a name out there, though, is there anybody you can think of that would want to hurt Jackie? That boyfriend? Toby?
Toby was nice. Not like some of those creeps where she worked.
Ma'am?
You know, those ranchers coming in and out of the diner between shifts. I'm sure you've seen them.
She mention anyone specific?
No. But you know the type. Rough guys in a rough business.
That's all I have for right now, folks. If I could just speak to Jeannie outside. Is there anything else you can tell me about Jackie? Something your parents might not know?
She's been getting these phone calls. Obscene phone calls. It's been going on for months.
And your parents?
They thought they'd stop. She didn't want them to worry.
Have any ideas making the calls?
No. And if Jackie knew, she never said. I guess that's not a lot of help, though, huh?
It's a start. Look, Jean, if there's anything I can do for you.
Just find the monster who did this.
With no concrete leads in their sights, detectives return to Jackie's car, hoping the contents might provide new clues.
Jackie was one of those sort of pack rats, and she didn't throw things away. She just threw them on the floor of her car.
Jeez, what is all this stuff?
Most of it's just stuff of a girl her age. Sunglasses, couple mixtapes.
Back in 85, whenever this investigation was going on, we didn't have the DNA that we have today. So we were just trying to collect all the evidence we could. We didn't want to lose any evidence. We wanted to make sure we kept everything.
Seems as though she stopped at a convenience store the night she died.
Huh. Okay, what else?
This.
Happy birthday, Jackie. I love you. Let's never fight again. Toby.
They found a receipt putting Jackie at a local convenience store on the night that she died.
That convenience store. It was maybe a quarter of a mile from Jackie's car. But it was just a local hangout for Jackie and the kids that she ran around with. And that's where we started some of our investigation.
What'd you find out?
The manager confirmed she stopped in after work, bought a can of hairspray. Nothing out of the ordinary.
We were trying to see if anybody could give us a lead who was outside the front door waiting on her or the vehicles that was parked around the convenience store.
Excuse us, miss. Do you have a second?
Yeah.
Evening.
Hello.
Sergeant Martin and I are looking into the murder of Jackie Johns. Did you know her?
Yes, sir. Jackie was one of my best friends. I still can't believe what happened to her.
Did you see her up here at all Monday night, the night before her car was found?
Yes.
It was super brief, though. Hey, Jackie. Why don't you hang out with us for a while?
Nah, I gotta go.
Do you know anything about these obscene calls Jackie was receiving?
Not really, no.
An anonymous caller? Ever seen anybody suspicious on that payphone?
Sure. Like, lots of times, but I couldn't tell you who they were.
What about a guy named Toby? Is he here too?
No, he wasn't here. Jackie said he was working, but he's been working a lot lately.
They've been having trouble?
Kinda. Things were always hot and cold between them.
I thought people got divorced so they don't have to talk to their wife anymore.
I told you, there's nothing going on between us. It's just me and you, baby, that's it.
All right. Well, if you think of anything, you know where to find us.
With suspicions growing around Jackie's boyfriend, Toby, detectives know it's time to bring him in for a formal interview.
I don't get it. You think I killed Jackie?
Hey, we just want to talk to you. We hear you had some trouble with her.
Trouble? I was crazy about Jackie.
So, what have you been fighting about lately then?
Okay. Yeah, we fought a little. I still talk to my ex-wife sometimes. We're just friends.
Jackie didn't like that.
She was jealous. She had no reason to be. Me and Bev, we got married young. Too young. We both knew it would never work out. I still talk to her sometimes, but it's a small town. I mean, what am I supposed to do, ignore her? It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it meant something to Jackie. All right, so where were you the night of June 17th?
Home. My place. Three of my buddies were there. They'll tell you. Just ask them.
After they had talked to Toby and interviewed him, he had a solid alibi. Some people spoke that he was with them. So he was cleared from being a suspect at the scene.
As word gets around about Jackie's murder, police turn to the media, urging anyone with information to please come forward. And days later, someone finally does.
Sheriff's office.
I can't tell you my name, but this is about that murder. Jackie's murder.
And we got some calls, and there was a reference to a pickup behind the convenience store the night Jackie went missing.
What kind of truck?
Old truck, but in great condition. A classic.
Did you get a good look at the driver?
No, not really. But I'd know that truck anywhere. It's Carnahan's truck.
Carnahan, huh? Which one?
Jerry. The truck belongs to Jerry Carnahan.
Group over there said that they wanted to sit in your section.
Oh, that's just the Carnahans. I used to work for their family's factory, you know, the big one?
Jerry's father had been very successful. And so they were very well known in that area. I think he had benefited from growing up with a well-connected, wealthy family.
Turns out, Jerry Carnahan's no stranger to the law. Still, he's somehow managed to keep that information a secret.
We found out that he had been involved in a number of things, but he was never convicted of any of them and of the charges against him. And supposedly, a lot of that was due to his family status.
But in a murder investigation, there's no room for special treatment. So detectives bring Jerry Carnahan in right away.
Sure. I knew Jackie. She used to work for my dad. And then I'd see her at the diner every now and again.
What about the night of June 17th?
Monday, right. No, I was all the way across town at a restaurant getting dinner with some friends.
Someone said they saw you at the convenience store on Russell Road that night.
Right. Yep, I stopped to pick up some beer on my way home.
I'm sure your wife could verify that?
No, she was out of town. But you could talk to my stepdaughter. I got home at 10 o'clock and was with her all night.
Detectives think Carnahan's story still leaves room for doubt. But when they meet with his stepdaughter, Kathy, they're left with little to stand on.
So you say you were home all night?
All night.
And Jerry was here too?
Yeah, I remember he walked in just as the Johnny Carson show was starting. We sat and watched it and he went to bed.
And you're sure that that was Monday?
Yeah, absolutely. I can remember the guest host and everything.
Well, she confirmed that he was there, so it didn't go any further at that point. We just keep doing the investigation, gain more information. But we never got that solid lead that we needed.
With the investigation hitting a dead end, police head up to Jackie's workplace, hoping to find new leads.
The night that Jackie went missing, she'd worked at the cell barn.
So Jackie's mom mentioned that you guys can get a pretty rough and tumble crowd around here.
Sure, we kind of have a rough trade, but Jackie could always hold her own against unwanted attention.
What about unwanted phone calls? Her sister mentioned she was getting harassed by one caller in particular.
Yeah, there was this one creep that would call multiple times.
So whoever made the calls, maybe they wanted to hurt Jackie.
Maybe, but I don't know who that could be. You know what? There was this one guy, Bo.
Here you go. Keep the change.
No, Bo, that's too much.
Bye, Jackie.
He would just leave little gifts and chocolate behind for her.
So when's the last time you can remember him doing something like this?
Maybe a few days before Jackie died.
Thank you, Dan. We'll do the very best we can.
In the small town of Nixa, it doesn't take long for Sheriff McNeil to learn the identity of Jackie's gift-giving admirer.
Hey, what is it? What you got?
His name's Bodine Floyd.
Bodine?
Yeah, better known as Bo. He used to come to the diner all the time. He had a thing for Jackie. He hasn't been back since Jackie's death.
He spent some time in the mental hospital. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Guess where he is now? In jail. For attempted murder.
That gives us a good person to do an investigation on. We would want to make sure that where he was and what he was doing and at the time of her death.
Okay, well, I need to know exactly when he was arrested. Sure. Call me back. I'll be right here.
You really think it's him?
We'll see.
In the meantime, you might want to take a look at these.
Phone records.
Jackie's home line.
Jackie had been receiving some threatening phone calls. But again, that was in the mid-80s. They didn't have caller ID.
This would take us weeks to go through.
Well, I've already started.
Any interesting calls?
Not that I saw. See what you think.
Sheriff. Okay. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Well, so much for Bo. Turns out he was arrested the week before the murder. He's been in jail ever since. Now, there's still the guy making the calls. Maybe it's him.
Maybe, if we can ever find him.
With leads running dry and no clue who the mystery caller could be, Jackie's case hits a dead end. And her family struggles to cope without answers.
3 years after Jackie passed, my mom learned she had cancer, and a lot of people feel like she died of a broken heart. It devastated her when Jackie was murdered. You just live with the hope that somehow, some way, it's going to be solved.
Sheriff McNeil shares that same hope. And as years pass, he promises never to give up on Jackie's case. Then, 7 years after her murder, he comes across a case with striking similarities.
Martin, it's me.
Hey, McNeil. How's it going?
Did you hear about those two teenage girls that went missing in Springfield?
Yeah, I did. Annie and Christy, abducted the night of their high school graduation.
Did you read the part about the obscene phone calls?
They had been receiving phone calls and been harassed.
It's like that creep that was stalking Jackie Johns.
Who is this? What do you want?
You know what I want. I wanna...
Leave me alone.
You know, you have, again, young girls, young women who were abducted from their home. So immediately there was conjecture that it could have been the work of the same person.
Springfield police search far and wide for anyone who could be behind this most recent abduction. Until finally, they bring in one of the missing girl's ex-boyfriends, Tad Donnelly.
He had a very contentious relationship with her. During that time, he had a conviction for grave robbing, where they had actually been stealing valuables from graves in the area.
Tad's proven he's capable of breaking the law, but could he be behind these recent abductions and ultimately Jackie's murder?
So Christy was the one who broke up with you, correct?
Yes.
That must have been hard.
Yeah, but I got over it, you know.
But it made you mad, though?
Yeah. Not like I was gonna do something about it.
Did you take those girls, Tad?
No. I love Christy. I would never do anything to hurt her.
What about the phone calls? Was that you?
What phone calls?
A lot of people thought it was connected with Jackie, but it just was never proven, you know. He was cleared.
With Tad off the table, the obscene calls remain a mystery, and so does the identity of Jackie's killer. Detectives hold out hope that a break will come in the case. But years go by with no progress, and by 2006, both Martin and McNeil have retired from the force.
I looked up her old boyfriend, Toby Eaton. He's married now, he's got a kid.
You gotta let it go, McNeil.
The Jackie Johns case, for anybody who grew up in Nixa during that time or afterwards, it became this cautionary tale. You know, this is what can happen to young women. It was an open-ended question, one of those mysteries that folks were wanting an answer to.
Then, almost 22 years after Jackie's murder, advances in DNA technology lead Sergeant Dan Nash with the Missouri Highway Patrol to revisit dozens of cold cases, including Jackie's.
Back when Jackie was killed, the DNA was unheard of, and Dan took it over. DNA, it was advanced so much that you could just about take a drop of blood or whatever evidence and do about anything with it.
Hi, Bridget.
Hey, Nash.
Any results?
Yes, I tested your samples. All of the cases were robust. No usable DNA except for one.
Which one?
A 1985 case, Jackie Johns. It's a 16-point profile. I mean, that's the best you can get, which is amazing after all these years.
Those tests, when they came back, they had generated a DNA profile. They had isolated not just Jackie's DNA, but also the DNA from sperm that was recovered from her body.
So now I just need a suspect to match it to.
Sorry, I can't help you with that.
Sergeant Nash sets out to find a match for the DNA profile, starting with samples collected from two suspects in Jackie's original case file. Jackie's ex-boyfriend, Toby Eaton, and Jerry Carnahan, who was spotted outside the convenience store the night she was killed.
After he had run a test on both of them, they had a good idea who it was.
So, this is the DNA analysis from the crime scene, and this is the DNA analysis from the suspect. It's an exact match.
Unbelievable. So, whose is it?
Jerry Carnahan.
Group over there said that they wanted to sit in your section.
Oh, that's just the Carnahans.
Someone said they saw you at the convenience store on Russell Road that night.
Yep, I stopped to pick up some beer on my way home.
Jerry was part of the Carnahan family that I grew up with, and it was shocking to know that he could perform such a horrendous murder. After so many years of waiting for a conviction in Jackie's case, to know that we actually had that DNA sample match was just elation, because we could finally get justice for Jackie.
On August 9th, 2007, the now 49-year-old Gerald Jerry Carnahan is charged with first-degree murder and rape. At his trial, his stepdaughter Kathy brings new information to light.
In 1985, law enforcement talked to Jerry's stepdaughter, and she said that he was home all night.
And Jerry was here too.
Yeah, I remember he walked in just as the Johnny Carson show was starting. We sat and watched it, and he went to bed.
Come to find out, his stepdaughter lied for him, because he wasn't there.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Her testimony was very careful, but for the first time, she did acknowledge that he could have left while she was asleep.
Police say Carnahan did go out again on that dreary night in June 1985, and they can imagine what happened next.
Hey, Jackie. Why don't you hang out with us for a while?
Nah, I gotta go.
See you later.
Bye.
They both lived down the same street, down the road going home. So Gerald pulled over somewhere down that road, and Jackie came up behind him.
It was almost like he preyed on her that night, but knew that she would stop to help somebody who was broke down.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jackie.
You having some trouble?
I sure am. Yeah, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind actually giving me a ride back to my place so I could call the shop.
Of course. I'd be happy to.
So sweet.
So how's your family, Jerry?
They're good.
Yeah, they're real good.
Let's hold on a second. Why are you in such a rush?
Just enjoy each other's company. You know, I have seen how you look at me at the diner.
Like maybe you need a coffee refill?
That's my favorite thing about you. Your sense of humor.
Jerry, you're hurting me.
No.
Jerry,
stop. Don't tell me you
stop.
Haven't thought about this before.
Get off of me.
You need to behave.
Let go, Jerry. Stop. Stop. Let go of me, Jerry.
And then they left there and some rape occurred. And I think Gerald got scared that he was in trouble and Jackie would file charges against him.
With his reputation on the line, Carnahan then makes a decision there's no coming back from.
Lake Springfield was an area that he was familiar with and perhaps thought that that would be a good place to dispose of a body.
In the fall of 2010, 25 years after Jackie John's murder, Jerry Carnahan is convicted of murder and rape and is sentenced to 2 life sentences.
One of the things that struck me about the case was how important the DNA evidence was. 25 years later, the reason that they were able to solve this case and bring someone to justice was because they collected evidence then that they couldn't even use at the time. 2 decades later, they processed that evidence and caught the guy.
I'm glad that Carnahan's where he's at. He's where he needs to be. This was a big case. This was personal. A small community as Nixa was, and her being the Sucker Day parade queen, we just wanted to make sure that we solved the case. We took care of the family because we all knew each other.
I wish my mother had lived to see justice done for Jackie. I feel Jackie all the time. I really do. In spirit, she will always be part of me.
My hopes for Jackie would have been what she wanted, which was to become a teacher and a mother and live a happy life. But that didn't happen because of a monster.